All right, so the book of Luke, chapter 2. Book of Luke, chapter 2. Sorry, I'm a little disoriented today. The technical difficulties kind of threw me off. Lord, I thank you today that you're God.
Amen.
That you're in charge.
Amen.
That nothing ever throws you off.
Yes.
That you've never had a bad day.
Yes.
You've never woken up on the wrong side of the bed. Nothing has ever caught you off guard. Lord, it occurs to me this morning that nothing has ever occurred to you. And so we thank you and we give you praise today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would open our eyes, that we might see who Jesus truly is, and that in his eyes we might see ourselves for who we truly are. I pray, Father, that you'd give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, minds to understand, and the will to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. There's nothing more painful to a human being, perhaps, than to be misunderstood.
Yeah.
To be misunderstood is incredibly painful when you have intended well, but your intentions were misinterpreted.
Oh, yeah.
That's painful.
Yeah.
When you have actually spoken something good, but your words were misinterpreted.
Yeah.
That's painful. Uh-huh. Or when you've done something good, and your good deed was misinterpreted.
Yeah.
That is, when you have intended, spoken, and acted out of good, but evil was extrapolated from what you intended, from what you said, and from what you did. Misunderstanding, being misunderstood, is one of the most painful, one of the most emotionally painful experiences that we can have as human beings. But why is it so emotionally painful to be misunderstood? I mean, if I know what I meant, why does it matter what you think I meant?
Yeah.
And if I know what I said, why does it matter what you think I said? And if I know what I did, why does it matter what you think I did? And the reason why it matters is because as human beings, God created us not only with an identity that is an internal ability to know who we are, but he also created us as relational beings.
Yeah.
And what it means to be a relational being is that you have an innate internal longing not only to know, but to be known. You see, I identified three components to yourself. It was either last Sunday or the Sunday before that. And those three components are your identity, which is who you are, your integrity, which is really the ability to live out of your identity, and your destiny, which is where you are going or what you are supposed to fulfill, achieve, or accomplish, or contribute in the earth. Between your identity and your integrity is something called your character. Your identity is internal, your character is external. Your character is what you do in order to cause who you are to be known in the earth. Character is the articulation of identity. That is, everything you do is an attempt to communicate to the world who you believe that you are. Everything that you do publicly, you're telling the world, this is who I am. Now, that's good and bad. Because when somebody demonstrates some negative character traits, they're telling you about their identity.
Yeah.
Now, there's an old adage that says, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them the first time.
Yeah.
And that's true, right? If you tell somebody a secret and they go blab it to the world, don't tell them another secret.
Yep.
I've made that mistake. When you when you invite somebody to your house and they steal something, don't invite them back to your house. You understand what I'm saying? That is, actions do not transpire in a vacuum. Words and actions do not transpire in a vacuum. They are always an articulation of our current understanding of our identity. Deep down inside, this is who I believe myself to be, and everything that I say and do communicates that. Now, the problem is when my character reveals the fact that I'm living out of a false identity. And we talked about how there's really only two identities that we have to choose from. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and following, when this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been found in him, have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. I'm getting to this part, that you put off the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul says there's only two men, the old man and the new man. And when he's talking about the old man and the new man, it has nothing to do with gender, it has to do with identity. You can either live out of the identity of the old man, or you can live out of the identity of the new man. So you have to choose between two who's. And the first who is the new man, who is redeemed, who is a child of God, who is forgiven, who is washed, who is cleansed, who is accepted, who is dearly loved.
Yeah.
Or live out of the old man, who is damned, who is forsaken, who is an ultimate failure, who has rejected God entirely, and whose end is destruction, and he grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. That is, he grows corrupt because he's constantly being deceived by lust. So Paul says, put off that old man.
Yeah.
If you find yourself moving back into the old man, come out of the old man, because that's not who you are anymore. Meaning, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, but you find yourself in the what's of the old who, living out of the what's of the old who, come out of the what's of the old who and into the what's of the new who. And the new who is the redeemed man. He's fully forgiven and fully cleansed and washed and fully accepted and dearly loved. And he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he's indwelt by God. And he's full of the Spirit and power and presence of God. So sometimes we find ourselves exhibiting a character that is not in keeping with the transformation that has already transpired in our hearts by virtue of our faith in Jesus Christ. And so we have to come out of those things and into the new man. And the deeper we become entrenched in the identity of the new man, of who we are in Christ, the truth of that, the more fully we will live out that character. Now, if I'm already living out that character, it matters to me that you see it, that you know it, that you understand it, because I am a relational being. And as a relational being, I long both to know and to be known. I long to know who I am, but I also long for you to know who I am. And so it's very painful for a relational being in whom God has deposited goodness and to whom God has revealed himself, who has been regenerated, and you're living in the new man and you're exhibiting the character of the new man, but you're misinterpreted by the community around you. You're unseen. You do good at your job all the time. You cover for folks, but somebody else always gets the credit. Now, we might say, well, forget about the credit. It's not about the credit. Yes, yes, of course it's not about the credit, but it kind of is about the credit. Because the credit is not just credit. It's you being known for who you are. And there's a natural desire in you when you do good that the people around you know you according to the good that you do. When you speak well, that the people around you know you according to the well that you speak. When you do good, that the people around you would know you according to the good that you do. And so there's this pain that we experience when, as Jesus said, I played the flute, but you didn't dance. And I played the dirge, but you didn't mourn. A lot of us have that experience where I feel like I'm constantly playing the flute, but ain't nobody dancing. I feel like I'm constantly playing the dirge, but nobody's mourning. That's a painful experience.
Yeah.
I had an experience this week, and I had to sit down and talk to the Lord about it. One of the most important experiences that we have as believers in Jesus Christ is when we realize something's going on in our hearts that's not right.
Yeah.
Being self-aware enough to know that the way I'm thinking ain't right, I better sit down and have a little talk with Jesus about the way I'm thinking. And I realized this week, I had a moment this week, one night, when I realized that I was feeling pain because in a particular sphere of influence in my life, there's a particular circle of people in my life that I feel locked out of, that I feel, and it has nothing to do with our church, by the way, so, but I feel kind of unseen, unknown. I feel like I could participate, I could contribute to this circle. God has actually put things in me that could actually make a difference here, but my contribution is not invited.
Yeah.
Because what's in me is not seen or not known, and I actually feel somewhat condescended to in that circle. So in that circle, I get condescension, but outside of that circle, there's another circle where people actually see me and know me. And believe in what God's put in me and see value in it and even draw from it. Can we turn the heater down a little bit? I don't know about you, but I'm up here. I'm about to start sweating. And so I sat down to have a talk with Jesus about this. And I said, God, I'm writing in my journal. And I said, God, it's just so painful to me that they don't know who I am. That they don't see what you put on the inside of me. And because of that, they look down on me. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly and so gently, because in hindsight, the Lord could have said, oh, so you're hurt that they don't know you. That's your goal, right? That's your desire, for the world to know who you are, not who I am. You're not crying that somebody doesn't know me. You're crying that they don't know you. Okay, I see how it is. Yet let me know when you've died on the cross for their sins. When you manage to rise from the grave, then it'll matter that they know you, that they know who you are. But until then, forget about who you are. It's not about who you are. It's about who I am. That's how I would have expected him to respond. But he didn't say that, although he had every right to. You know what he said to me? He spoke to me so clearly, and he said, son, I see you. I know who you are. And I know what I've put in you. And my dream for you is that one day that'll be enough.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, I sat there and I cried. I said, Lord, I'm sitting here crying about these folks who don't know me. But someone infinitely more important than them knows me.
Yeah.
And I'm acting like that don't even matter.
Wow.
You see me? You know me? See, y'all don't know because I sit in my house and I get these crazy revelations. The Lord speaks to me. I'm in the scriptures all the time. And I'm just drawing all of this. And the Lord shows me these deep things that never make it into a sermon. I have reams and reams of notebooks and files full of stuff that I've never preached. And that's so painful to me because, man, everybody needs to hear this. Everybody needs to see this. How do I give this to people? And so, yeah, I got to write books. And I'm thinking of all these ways that I've got to. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I just love fellowshipping with you. Sometimes I just love spending time with you and showing you something, and it's not a product. Giving you something just so we can fellowship together, showing you something you never saw before, and I love watching what happens in your heart when I reveal something to you. I love watching what happens in your heart when I pull the veil off of something and cause something to explode into your consciousness that you've. I just love fellowshipping with you. I see what I've put in you. And it brings me so much joy to fellowship with you
yeah.
in these things. And I was like, oh, wow. Because here's what I realized. When you start walking down that road where I need them to know me, I need them to see me, I need them to know who I am, it's never enough.
Yeah.
It's never enough. Because that circle, suddenly they know me, and the Lord answered my prayer, and all of a sudden, hey, Benjamin, why don't you come in here? I think you have the wisdom. Whoa, and then I get to come in and share my wisdom, and the next thing I know, there's another circle that doesn't know me.
Yeah.
And then I'm crying to the Lord about that. Pretty soon, I'm pastoring a church of 10,000 people, and I'm still crying that somebody doesn't know me. Because guess what happens? If I'm ever pastoring a church of 10,000 people, I guarantee you, you will Google my name and all kinds of websites will come up that will say Benjamin Robinson, heretic, false prophet, and all of that.
Yeah.
And then I get to lament that they don't know me. That they misunderstood me.
Yeah.
That I spoke good, but they extrapolated evil from it. Mm-hmm. That they took my teaching and they twisted it up and turned it into a heresy that I never intended. There's no end to that.
Yeah.
There's no end. And it dawned on me that the entirety of the life and ministry of Jesus was misunderstanding to misunderstanding
yeah.
to misunderstanding
yeah.
to misunderstanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone who participated in the story of his birth had to deal with the pain of being misunderstood. Mary was first. Pregnant out of wedlock, and you're saying it's the Holy Ghost. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's not how the Holy Ghost works. I got the Holy Ghost too, and I didn't get pregnant. Joseph was going to put her away. That means he told her, it's over. And the angel had to come tell him, nah, she's telling the truth. He's like, what kind of angel are you? She had to deal with the pain of being misunderstood for 9 months while she carried this child, and everyone around her is giving her the side eye. She was misunderstood.
Yeah.
From the moment of his birth, he was misunderstood. His identity was not known. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is being born. He's coming into the world, but he's not being born in a palace. He comes into a city where he's to be born, and the city does not open its doors to him. They only open the doors of the barn to him. But all of a sudden, there's a group of shepherds on the hill. And the Lord sends his angels to give them revelation. The angels appear to the shepherds, and the angel tells them, I'm bringing you some good news, some great tidings of great joy. And that whole revelation that happens to the shepherds, all the angel is saying is, listen, there's a little child that's been born in Bethlehem, and he is largely misunderstood. You guys are going to be the only people on this earth who understand him. Why? Because I'm telling you who he is. I'm revealing him to you. That is, from the time Jesus was born, his identity was secure, but his character was in the hands of the Father. Meaning, the way in which his identity was communicated through his words and actions, the interpretation of those words and actions was in the hands of the Father. Who clearly understood him had to do with to whom the Holy Spirit gave the power to understand him. That is, that for a time and for a season, the Father, by his own power, closed the hearts and minds of the people who came into contact with Jesus so that they would not understand who he was. But he would give revelation to a handful of fishermen and lead Jesus, go tell them they're your disciples.
Yeah.
They'll understand you.
Yeah.
There's going to be a group of 120 people that follow you from city to city. They'll understand you. But there were seasons and times when multitudes followed him, even though they didn't understand him.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he didn't, see, a lot of times people will follow you because you're doing what they want. Yeah. Not because they like you. Yeah. Somehow your actions are in alignment with their agenda. That's politics. Why do I follow this politician? Not because I like him or her. But they are in alignment with my agenda. Now, what happens when they change their agenda so it's no longer in alignment with my agenda? Throw them out. I'll follow Jesus as long as he's walking on water, calling fish out of the sea into the net, feeding 5,000 with bread and fish, healing folks. He's going to heal me of all my sicknesses and all my diseases, raising little kids from the dead. Anybody would follow that. But go read John 6. The multitude followed him as long as he was feeding them. But then they come to him and he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And they say, psh, we're out. The moment I don't understand, I'm out. And Jesus turns to his 12 and says, do you also want to go? They said, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. Translation, God had given them a revelation that was deeper than understanding. A revelation that was deeper than agreement. And even to this day, we are living in a day and age in which many turn and walk away from Christ at some point in their lives because they don't understand him. Or because he allowed something to happen in their lives that did not agree with their agenda. But then there are others who walk through trials of many kinds, tragedies of many kinds. They come to points in their lives where their understanding escapes them. Where you say, I don't know what you're doing in my life. I don't know why you're allowing this to happen to me. I don't understand. I don't like this. But where would I go?
Yeah.
My faith is deeper than my understanding. The revelation of who you are is deeper than my understanding. And Peter talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, when he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Literally, he's saying that when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, the hope that is born in you is a living hope that has the same power as the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Yeah.
It means that you have a hope in you that trial and tribulation cannot destroy.
Yeah.
It can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you've walked through tragedies and you've walked through trials and you've walked through tribulations, but you still believe. Come on, somebody. You've walked through it. And nobody around you understood what you were going through, but you said, I can't stop trusting him. You've got that reckless Jobian faith that says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. I haven't done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I haven't sinned against him, but yet I'm going through it. Why? I don't know. But the thing I know is that I still trust him. It was sitting in the pit that Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I will stand with him on that day. He said, that's all I know, is that my Redeemer lives, and I'll stand with him on that day. And the one thing I know is that these eyes are going to see God. Come on, somebody. Amen. In other words, the character of your faith is in your ability to continue to know who Jesus is, even when you walk through times that elude your understanding.
Wow.
Through circumstances that transcend your understanding, I still retain the knowledge of who Jesus is. He's my Lord and Savior still. He's my Redeemer.
Amen.
That was Job's faith. And we just got done reading Job. Somebody showed up and said, all your cattle are dead. He says, well, he's still my Redeemer.
Right.
Somebody else showed up and said, all your kids are dead.
Yeah.
He said, he's still my Redeemer.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Don't get me wrong. I'm still hurting.
Yeah.
I'm still asking him why. But I haven't changed my mind about his identity.
He's
still my Redeemer. And this is the key. As long as you retain the knowledge of who he is, you simultaneously retain the knowledge of who you are. You see, when you forget who you are, it's only because for that moment and in this circumstance, you forgot who he is. And at the very moment that I start crying about the fact that they don't know who I am, underneath that lament is the truth that for that moment, I forgot who I am. And if I forgot who I am, I must have forgot who he is. And when he said to me, Benjamin, I see you. I know who you are. He didn't have to chide me. He didn't have to rebuke me.
Yeah.
He just needed to remind me.
Yes.
Yeah.
The most important being in the universe sees you, is watching you,
Amen.
And rejoicing over you. And when you know that the creator of the ends of the earth is watching you and rejoicing over you, not judging you, not critiquing you, but rejoicing in you, then you can rejoice in the Lord always.
Yeah.
See, Paul gives us that admonition, doesn't he? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. How can you rejoice in a God who is not rejoicing over you? You cannot rejoice in a non-rejoicing God. Can you imagine? You're just rejoicing and God's just like. Don't work that way. Son, I know who you are. This was the spiritual genius of Jesus. Throughout his entire life in ministry, he walked through misunderstanding after misunderstanding. After misunderstanding, there were literally whole religious groups, one of them called the Pharisees and another called the Sadducees, that their entire mission in relation to him was to twist his words, misunderstand his actions, and misinterpret his mission, not just amongst themselves, but to everybody they could find. And it didn't change him. Why? Because he would go up to a mountain every night and he'd fellowship with the Father.
Wow.
You know who I am. He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 and following, no one knows the Father except the Son.
Yeah.
And no one knows the Son except the Father. and those to whom he chooses to reveal him. And this is the very point. Jesus knew that the day of his revelation would come. He knew the day is coming when the Father's going to reveal me to everybody, whether they like it or not. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. And those who hate him are going to mourn, and those who love him are going to rejoice. But on the day of his revelation, everybody will see him. Everybody will have to declare who he is. The scripture says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. His identity will no longer be a mystery. But what if God has a day of revelation for you too? What if God has been reserving you for a day when everyone around you is going to see what he's put in you and know who you are? That the folks who can't see you now will see you.
Amen.
What if the day of your revelation was in the Father's hands and not yours?
Yeah.
What if you didn't have to work to reveal yourself?
Yeah. Amen.
Isn't that what it says of John the Baptist? So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the wilderness until the day of his manifestation to Israel. That there was a period in his life where God says, nobody's going to know who he is. I've gotten him hid away. I've got him hidden away. Nobody's going to see him. Nobody's going to know him. Nobody's going to hear him but me. There's a season that God always takes his sons and daughters through where you're hidden, where nobody knows you but him. I remember when I was a student at Fuller Seminary, and I told you this before. My first chapel service there, I was blown away by the worship team. We had a wonderful worship team. And the worship started in chapel, and the Spirit of God was there, and everybody lifted up their hands and began to worship, and I lifted up my hands, but before I could open my mouth, the Lord spoke to me and said, don't sing. Keep quiet. I was like, what? But it's the worship time. Mm-hmm. Worship silently in your heart. I don't want anybody to hear you right now. And then as soon as I got home, I walked in the door of my little studio apartment. The Holy Spirit said, now sing.
Yeah.
I want you to sing. Benjamin, I want to hear your voice now. It was that secret place where the Lord says, this is you and me.
Yeah.
That secret, that same secret place where he cultivated this young man named David, who was ostracized as a child, as the shepherd over the flocks of his father, Jesse. The worst job. He didn't want it. Out with the sheep. But what happened in that place of isolation? The Lord began to speak to him. The Lord began to visit him. And the Lord began to give him psalms.
Yeah.
It was out there with the sheep that the Lord gave him, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Had it not been for that season of isolation, we would not have the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If it had not been for that season of isolation, we would not have he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Don't you realize he had to dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty before he could teach us how to dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty? Some of you right now feel misunderstood. Wives in this room feel misunderstood by your husbands. Some husbands, somebody say, amen. You just gave yourself away. I give myself away. See me after the service. Some husbands feel misunderstood by their wives. Some children feel misunderstood by their parents. Some parents feel misunderstood by their children. And so much conflict happens in families when we feel misunderstood.
Yeah.
And we try so hard to make ourselves understood. And it doesn't work. It just creates a bigger fight and a bigger conflict.
Yeah.
My wife and I, for so many years, tried to make ourselves feel understood. And all it did was create more and more conflict. We had to die to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to die to my incessant need to be understood. And I had to come to the Lord and say, help me understand her.
Yes.
I wanted the Lord to reveal me. He says, no, I'm going to reveal her. And if husbands and wives would just get that, stop praying that she would understand you. Stop praying that he would understand you. Start praying that you would understand him.
Yeah.
That you would understand her.
Yeah.
You'll go a lot further.
Yeah.
And in every realm, stop praying that they would see you at your job. Stop praying that you'd stop getting passed over for promotion. Because sometimes being passed over is the greatest gift God could ever give you. Sometimes being unseen is the greatest gift God could ever give you, because he's saving you. He's preparing a place for you. He's working all things for your good.
Amen.
That's what the scripture says, doesn't it? Romans 8:28.
Yep.
And in all things, not some things,
all things.
In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose.
Yep.
Jesus didn't worry when folks misunderstood him. He didn't worry when folks misinterpreted him.
Yeah.
He knew that the hour of his revelation was coming, and that when that day of revelation came, every eye would see. And the day of your revelation is coming too. But only so far as you hold on to the truth of who he is. You don't focus on who you are, you focus on who he is.
Yeah.
And as long as I maintain my focus on who he is, he's my redeemer.
Yeah.
I can walk through any storm.
Amen.
Bow your heads and let's pray. Father, I pray today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would speak mightily by the power of your Spirit to each and every one of your sons and daughters, both in this place, on the live stream, on the podcast, and everyone under the sound of my voice who will ever hear this message. I pray, Father, that you would release a newfound confidence in you. Lord, there's some who have been battling discouragement. I tried to rise up and show myself strong, and nobody saw it. I rose to the occasion and saved the day, but nobody knew it. I'm doing my best, but nobody acknowledges it. I'm working my tail off, but nobody appreciates it. Whoever you are, whatever it is that you're going through, the Holy Spirit has come today to offer you this word of encouragement. The Father knows.
Amen.
The Father sees.
Amen.
And he says to you what he said to me. I know who you are. I see what I've put in you.
Yeah.
And I'm delighted to be with you. And my dream is that that would be enough for you. Father, I pray that you would so move and work in our hearts that it would be enough for us to know that you see us, that I am known by God, that I'm found in him, and that you delight in the fellowship of the mysteries into which you have invited each and every one of us as your children. Strengthen and encourage your people today. Lord, we say to the fearful hearted, do not be afraid. For behold, the Lord your God with a strong and mighty hand, he will come and save you.
Amen.
Strengthen and encourage. And if there's anyone in this room, under the sound of my voice, who either does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or who's fallen away from Him and needs to be restored. Lord, I pray that their hearts would open to You right now, that true repentance would come, and they would receive You and come into the fold where they are fully forgiven, fully accepted, and dearly loved.
Amen.
I speak blessing and encouragement in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Stand up this morning. All Hands Christmas Party is going to start shortly. Okay. Father, I love You today.
Yes, Lord.
And I thank You as I speak Your benediction over Your people today, that You will keep us from falling, that You will present us blameless before Your glorious presence, without fault and with great joy. I declare it in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.